I would like to go to the word right now. I'm asking the Lord to be in charge.
Yes, Lord.
Of my mind. Let your Holy Spirit flow through me.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And let those that have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to perceive,
yes,
what the Lord is speaking. I want to humble myself by saying this is not about me, but this is about what the Lord is doing,
yes, Lord,
in me and through me.
Yes.
So I have been on a bit of a journey, so I do want to share some of that journey with you. I'm going to start by reading the scripture that we all know, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. I think that's important. Hope in your outcome.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Then you will call upon me and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and heed you. Then you will seek me, inquire for me, and require me, and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And then I just want to go a little bit into 14. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will release you from captivity.
Amen.
So thank you, Lord.
Yes.
So my journey right now kind of consists of three things. The first thing is overcoming depression, that overwhelming sadness and grief that, you know, sometimes comes upon us. And
sure,
as you know my situation. So for those that may be listening, I lost my husband went home to the Lord on December 24th of last year. I had also lost, or I keep saying lost, they're not lost.
No.
They're home with the Lord.
That's right, they're saved.
My best friend of many years, she went home a couple of years ago. And I also, my cat certainly was part of my life, and he saw the end of his journey on this earth as well. So there's been a few things, and the Lord has truly done a work in me. I still have moments,
sure,
like this past Saturday. I just decided I wanted to go to the mall. Hadn't been there in a very long time. I got in my car. I went to the mall, and that was something that my friend Mary Jo and I would do together.
Okay.
And that was our little thing. We would do that, and we would have such a good time. And what was interesting was I was in the jewelry department because I was looking for a pair of earrings, and I could almost hear our conversation that we would have, and most of it consisted of either her or myself saying, move along now, move along, you don't need another pair of earrings. So even though it was the sense of loss of that friendship, there was still, it was still a joyful memory.
Amen. True.
You know, so the Lord has been turning things around in that regard for me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
The other part of my journey is I have taken on a position with the condo association that I'm belonging to in my neighborhood. And that's been interesting because my sense is to bring the light into that particular area. And what I've shared in the past few weeks ago, that we had a meeting and the Lord did show me spirits that were operating in that group meeting, not necessarily with the five on the board, but those others that were in attendance. So even though, you know, I am in the world, I know that I'm also not necessarily part of it.
Not of it.
And still seeing things in the spirit. So I guess you could say, kind of a cool experience for
sure.
me. To actually witness that. And even though we started the meeting a different way than we would start here, there was still that sense of longing. I wanted to bring everybody together in prayer.
Yay.
However, that was not possible. But it doesn't mean that it won't be possible
amen.
In the future.
Amen.
So, amen to that.
Yes.
And that brings me to my third part of my journey, which is my addiction to food. And specifically, I would say probably sugar. And it truly, I mean, I don't want to give the enemy any credit here,
amen.
But it's, you know, it's been part of my life since I was about 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord has shown me that. And I'm sharing that not to share any kind of a food program or anything, but what he's directed me to is a lifestyle without sugar. And that is truly a journey.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Truly a journey. And not seeking the food as part of my comfort, which is generally what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I said all that to say that after I had shared about the condo association meeting, and I brought out Jezebel that had came out in full force within two people, and then a lying spirit that also sat behind a mask and smirked. I wasn't home, I don't think, for maybe 2 hours. And the enemy started on me.
Oh.
And it was the desire for the food.
Oh.
And I will say that I did give in to it.
Oh.
And I actually did give into it that night. It's this desire that comes up for just to have something good. In my mind, what tastes good.
Right.
Now, this meal plan, that these different recipes that I have, they all taste good.
Mm.
It's not that they don't. But see, it's the enemy coming in and saying, you know, don't you really want to have something really good? Deserve it, correct.
Right.
Now, that actually went on for all of Monday as well.
Hmm.
So by Tuesday, I had totally beat myself up. Because
yeah.
anybody that knows if they have any kind of addiction,
mm-hmm.
if you fall back, the tendency is to just beat yourself up.
Yes.
Absolutely. The whole thing.
So
on Tuesday, what I heard was, there is no shame. So I said, oh, Lord, thank you.
Yes.
There is no shame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I repented for giving in to that spirit. But I also accepted that there is no shame.
Yes.
So that brought me to Romans 8, which I know many are familiar with. And so I just want to start at Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no judging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. So for me, I think what the Lord was saying was, even though I did give in to the flesh, that's not really where my heart desires to live. It desires to live in the Spirit.
Amen.
For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has freed me from the law of sin and of death. Yes. For God has done what the law could not do. Its power, being weakened by the flesh, the entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit, sending his own Son in the guise of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin, God condemned sin in the flesh, subdued, overcame, deprived it of its power over all who accept that sacrifice. So I have to remind myself, have you accepted that sacrifice? If you have, then you will not, it will not have power over you.
Right, man. That's right.
So that the righteous and just requirement of the law might be fully met in us who live and move not in the ways of the flesh, but in the ways of the Spirit. Our lives governed not by the standards and according to the dictates of the flesh, but controlled by the Holy Spirit. We have the mind of Christ. For those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by its holy unholy desires, set their minds on and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit and are controlled by the desires of the Spirit, set their minds on and seek those things that gratify the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
That's where we put our mind
Amen.
On Christ. That is, because the mind of the flesh, with its carnal thoughts and purposes, is hostile to God, and it does not submit itself to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. So then those who are living the life of the flesh, catering to the appetites and impulses of their carnal nature, cannot please or satisfy God or be acceptable to him. But you are not living the life of the flesh. You are living the life of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, directs and controls you. But if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is none of his, he does not belong to Christ, is not truly a child of God. That sounds a little harsh. But if Christ lives in you, then although your natural body is dead by reason of sin and guilt, the Spirit is alive because of the righteousness that he imputes to you.
Amen.
And if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable body through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are debtors, but not to the flesh. We are not obligated to our carnal nature to live a life ruled by the standards set up by the dictates of the flesh. We have been resurrected from that.
Amen. Amen.
For if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you are habitually putting to death, making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. So, I believe what's necessary for me and for anyone that might be going through a similar experience is to just to continually cry out for help from the Lord. I believe we are partners with him.
Yes.
And our part is to trust him to know his word and then to believe it.
Yes. Amen.
His part is to do whatever is necessary in a given situation. For all who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. For the spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, the spirit producing sonship in the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father, Father.
Yes.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
In the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father, Father. The Spirit himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are children of God. And if we are his children, then we are his heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. Only we must share his suffering if we are to share his glory.
Amen.
But what of that? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us. For even the whole creation, all of nature, waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known, waits for the revealing, the disclosing of their sonship. For the creation, frailty to futility, condemned to frustration, not because of some intentional fault on its part, but by the will of him who so subjected it. Yet, with the hope that the nature itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and corruption and gain an entrance into the glorious freedom of God's children.
Amen.
I think I'm going to stop there and then just wanted to skip down. For those whom he foreknew, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand, he also destined from the beginning, foreordained them to be molded into the image of his son and share inwardly his likeness, and he might become the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he thus foreordained, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified, acquitted, made righteous, putting them into the right standing with himself. And those whom he justified, he also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity and condition or state of being. What then shall we say to all of this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe if God is on our side?
Amen.
So I think I'm going to end there. But just to summarize, I guess. For me, I really felt that this chapter was totally speaking to me at this point in time in my journey. I'm praying in the morning before I eat. And this is something new for me. I am depending totally and explicitly on him. And I know with him that this part of my journey You know, it's not going to be easy because that's what it says.
That's right.
But there is nothing more that I want to do than to please him.
Yes.
And Amen. To be the son, because we are all sons of God, and to be the woman that he has created me to be.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Absolutely.